Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live daily afternoon call and talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Less than a year from now, we'll have our elected president. 2 weeks from now, we'll have a better idea who that may be, or will we? The most recent CNN poll shows there's no clear leader on either side. Bernie seems to be gaining some traction against Hillary. Martin O'Malley, while way behind both, could be a factor in swaying the race to either of the leading Democratic candidates. And on the GOP side, Ted Cruz appears to be a significant threat to Donald Trump, separated by 2 percentage points. Experts say the determining factor to break these ties will be voter turnout in Iowa. We can't know until the polls close, but we can speculate. So give us a call and share your thoughts on these contentious primary races. What are we going to see in the next 2 weeks? Will Bernie pull ahead of Hillary? Will Trump say something outrageous? Will Ted Cruz best him? Let's talk politics today. Give us a call. 1-800-348-2551. It's your show. So far, not one little phone is ringing. 1-800-348-2551. You get to talk, and that would be great. You know, I've been thinking a lot about this race. We get a lot of mail here, of course. Some people say, you know, it's so clear you people really hate Hillary, or you really hate Bernie, or, you know, Rosemary said this, or Libby said that, or Alan said this or that. It's all over the place, folks. But this is your show. This is when you get to say 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You know what this is? This is a bad dream. Have you ever had a bad dream, you know, the middle of the night, and you have that dream, which everybody has, that they're back in college and they forgot to go to a class. And just as about to graduate, you realize you didn't go to the class. You know what I mean? You've had that dream, right? Or something like it. Well, you know, you left Murray in the car and you forgot about Murray. These are bad dreams. So while the phones are beginning to light up right now, and while we have a superb phone answerer, 1-800-323-9262, and it'll be great if you can talk to Susie Chekai, who is our phone answerer and a great one at that. So we have four of the phones ringing now. I'm very interested in what you have to say. So my uh-oh moment is when you're sitting there and you got five phones and none of them are ringing. Right now, they're all ringing. They're all ringing. 1-800-348-2551. Just like in the fund drive, I say, you got a pledge and you do. And speaking of the fund drive, while I'm waiting for Susie to get the first yellow piece of paper up on the board, there, and I can see who you are. I have to say that you have the wonderful opportunity to put some money into the lockbox. For $100 pledge, you get this incredible bag. You could put yourself into the bag. It's just that big. You could take a bath in it, I suppose. But anyway, I know that we'll be hearing from Susie any minute now. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And we will go to Jim in Walden, Vermont. Jim, you're on. I don't hear anything. Why don't I hear anything?
Hi, Doc. How are you?
Oh, there you are. Okay, Jim, you're on.
All right, I'm in New York, Walden, New York, down by Newburgh.
Okay, you said Walden. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to bust your chops a little bit because...
Oh, thank you.
Most of the time, it seems that you and your morning cohorts on the roundtable...
Right.
...borderline of stump for Hillary, and I just don't understand.
Not me.
You.
Oh, no, you're wrong. In fact, Jim, don't BS me. The fact of the matter is, I took a tremendous chance. I did something you're not supposed to do. I announced on the air several times because I thought it was important for everybody to know where I was going, that I was voting for Bernie.
So oh, don't.
So yeah.
I missed that episode. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, you. Well, you missed it, but you know, would it be terrible to say, "Oh, I'm sorry, Alan. I got that wrong."
I just did.
Oh well. You, oh well. Yeah. Sort of half something.
Forgive me. I'm forever,
okay. You're forgiven. Okay, you're forgiven.
Forever. But
okay. Now, do you have something substantive to contribute to the conversation? Go ahead.
Well, I'll make this quick. It's just that I've spent 30-some-odd years as a machinist, and over the years, I've just watched products that I made disappear to foreign lands. And, you know, you go to the store, everything's made elsewhere. People are out of work everywhere.
Yep.
And
it's going to get worse.
Only Bernie's the only one that really comes out and says such things.
Right.
You know, nobody else does, including the Secretary Clinton.
Did you see the New York Post the other day, POST, as I like to say, had the worst thing I've ever seen. It basically was a huge article about how Bernie was a Marxist and a follower of Stalin.
I've heard of that.
It was unbelievable.
And how can people call that journalism?
Well, you know, that's the
propaganda
big
for a certain subset of people, but that's it.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Jim, I just wanted to mention that we have two free phones, and I want to cut you off, but I really appreciate your calling. And
all right, thanks for your time, and I listen to you guys basically every morning, and I look forward to it.
And we look forward to having you listen. Thank you, Jim. Bye.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah.
Take care.
Bye. We'll go to Aaron in Longmeadow, 1-800-348-2551. Aaron, you're on.
Hey there. So what I wanted to say was that, you know, back when President Obama was running, you know, one of the things that really took me and that I think really turned everybody on was his ability to speak, to really inspire through speech. And since the president is really hampered in so many ways legislatively, that's like kind of the major tool that the president has. And I feel like a lot of people feel that power very much, you know, kind of fizzled out. I remember when we got the first videos, he was started sending out those like weekly video updates to folks. Mm. And I was just like, oh, what a letdown. Anyway, so when I'm imagining the possibility of a Trump-Sanders race, you know, going against each other.
Yep.
I mean, this is, you know, it's kind of sick of me, but it's so exciting, you know.
Well, who wins? Aaron, in that case, who wins?
I'm not sure, but I want to see some serious, you know, get down and dirty, throw off the gloves, get back to old school politics and just like, you know, put our hearts out on the table. And I don't know. I think that's part of what people are just, you know, craving. So yeah, who wins?
Can a socialist with a Brooklyn accent who lives in Vermont win?
It's hard for me to say yes. I want to say yes, but I'm just not sure.
And
unfortunately, there's many, many dark and terrible ideas cross my mind at the same time.
But if you Aaron, if you nominate him,
yeah.
And as I've already indicated where my vote is going, if you nominate him, and he loses and you get a Cruz or a Trump,
sure. No, I hear that.
Yeah.
When I think purely practically,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a registered independent, but when I think purely practically, I'd probably support Clinton, even though it's with, you know, kind of a frown at the same time. I just would, and I mean, I'll just kind of say once for the record, it's a little bit outrageous, but one of the main reasons I don't want to see Mr. Sanders actually be nominated is because I like to see him alive in another couple of years and in the Senate. And,
well, you know, a lot of people said that about Obama, too. I was really worried about
him.
I
was worried about Obama from some you know, sick, yeah, racist psycho maybe on the fringe.
Yeah, right.
Where Sanders, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the system. Back when Paul Wellstone, you know, died, I was a young guy, like college, very at that time much more radical than I am now, and I just couldn't help it. I mean, look through the dark side of our history, and there's too many people have been, lost to mysterious happenings over the years.
And okay, someone, Aaron, you know, Aaron, I have to cut you out because I have to take a break, but I thank you so much for calling. You're a terrific guy. Thank you very much.
Hey, Carol.
Yeah. We'll take a break.
Support comes from Edgar Mossick, Certified Financial Planner, Private Financial Design, South Hadley. Your life, your plan, your portfolio. PrivateFinancialDesign.com. Securities through Cambridge Investment Research, member FINRA and SIPC. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting Cat on a Hot Tin Roof by Tennessee Williams. Weekends, February 12th through 28th at the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park. HomemadeTheater.org. Stories Nursery, Freehold, New York, featuring houseplants, seeds, and seedling starter kits. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Closed Sundays, a gardener's destination, storiesnursery.com. And Viva Fresh Pasta, 30 years and 30 wines by the glass. European cuisine infused with flavors of the world. Northampton, Massachusetts, grab life by the knife and fork, VivaFreshPasta.com.
Thank you, Zachary, for bringing us back to reality. We'll go to Paul in Saratoga. Paul in Saratoga, your turn. How you doing?
Very good. How are you today?
Well, you know, let's see what you say, and then I'll tell you.
Well, I've been listening to you for quite a few weeks now in reference to the presidential race.
Right.
I've been listening to a lot of people talking about why we should have a female president, or why we should think that Donald Trump should be in there, or Ted Cruz. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm an independent out here, and I'm thinking that if I was going to be voting today,
yep,
I would probably be voting for Hillary Clinton.
Fair enough. Go ahead.
You know, yeah. I'm looking at all the avenues for presidency, but, you know, when Donald Trump speaks and he gets out there and he defends himself after people attack him, he comes up and he really, I think he should have a bag every time he starts talking bad, talking into the bag instead of talking into the microphone.
What do you mean talking in a bag? I don't get that. Is that an allusion to throwing up or something or what?
Well, when he puts his foot in his mouth.
I see.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't. You know, this thing about what you're saying, I gotta respond to that. I understand the argument for Hillary. Believe me, I do. And there are substantial arguments to be made for Hillary. On the other hand, Trump is not a stupid man.
He
knows how to play it.
Yeah, I think he's a very intelligent man, but sometimes he puts his foot in his mouth, and that's where everybody thinks that he shouldn't be there. But, you know, you take a look at what Donald Trump has achieved in his lifetime and what he could possibly do for us as American citizens to maybe get us out of the rut, the middle-class citizens that are out here, and I happen to be one of them. And I'm kind of like stuck in a rut, can't go any further.
Okay, Paul, here's the question. Yeah. You're given a choice. You're in the voting booth right now. Trump on the one hand, who you seem to be extolling, and Hillary. Who do you vote for?
Well, if I had the choice right now, it would be Hillary.
Okay. I got it. Do you think that Bernie Sanders can win a presidential election?
Yeah, if Bernie wins, that would not be. I think that Bernie and Hillary, if I had a choice between the two of them,
yep.
I don't want an old man in there. I really don't.
He's my age. Watch it.
Well, you know, Bernie's, you know, right up there with me, but, you know, I feel that if we got someone younger in there, that we would definitely be better off because they would understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And people would definitely want to be a part of that. Especially the younger generation out there and the new kids that are all coming up that can start voting at their age that they're at.
Yeah. But Paul, the polling is showing the kids love Bernie.
Yeah.
That's how it's playing right now. Well, anyway, hey Paul, thanks for sending out all of those interesting messages. I appreciate it very much. Thanks, Paul.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, you have yourself a great day.
You too, Paul. Okay, we'll go to Mike in Highland. Okay, Mike in Highland, you're on.
Hey, Alan. Nice to talk to you.
Yep, me too.
One of the things that I found interesting is, strictly from the economy, with Bernie Sanders, there's a Nobel Peace Prize winning economist from Columbia, Joseph Stiglitz.
Oh, yeah, very important.
Everything he's written about backs Bernie.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's just too much to go into. Everything, you know.
I interviewed him, by the way, when we were down in when we were down at Hyde Park at the Roosevelt Place.
Oh, which isn't far from me at all.
No. So go ahead.
No, but I was just going to say that, you know, just you hear people talking about, like, the middle-class person wanting Trump. When would Trump ever do anything for a middle-class person? Everything Bernie Sanders says is for the middle and the working class.
Yeah, but do they know it? In other words, aren't these the guys who buy lottery tickets? You know, quite frequently I'm perplexed by people who don't vote what I consider, but they consider their own interests.
You know what? It's interesting. I get up in the morning. I work early. I'm up at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you could call me. I'm up there.
I know. Yeah. I know that. And I flip the radio on. My dogs are probably better informed because it's on NPR or to AMC.
Right.
All day long than most people because they listen to the media that we, you know, put out there, and it's just garbage. They really don't have an idea what is actually going on.
Well, it really is true. Okay, so give me the bottom line. Give me the bottom line on what you think is going to happen here.
Well, you know what? Either way, I'm going for Bernie.
Okay.
Even if I think he doesn't have a chance to win, eventually we have to show that we're tired of the status quo of politicians being purchased.
And by the way, that's what I think Bernie and Trump have in common.
Yeah,
both guys are seen as...
Trump's worked the other end.
Yeah.
Of the purchased politicians. He purchased politicians.
Yeah.
So he's very familiar with it.
Yep. Hey, look, Mike, I got to let you go. There are a lot of people behind you. I appreciate your call.
I just wanted to bring it up that, you know, you can't, I would love to hear that Joseph Stiglitz interview. He's
I don't know.
Phenomenal.
You could go look for it. It was at the Presidential Library at Hyde Park. He was on the panel.
He was
very brilliant. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Yep. Okay, let's go to Sean in Kinderhook. Sean, you're on.
Hey, Alan, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I didn't win the $1 billion, so I wasn't able to build my very first Starship Enterprise, so I guess I'm going to have to put that on hold.
That's interesting, because, Susie Chekai, who's answering the phones today, she's a wonderful volunteer, she came in and said, if I won, I was going to go in space. That's what I was going to do. So there you are.
Right.
Okay,
well, now I watched a very interesting program on Netflix, and it talks about China, and it says China's weapons of economic destruction, okay? So I'm thinking that, you know, again, Bernie, he seems good. He's for the middle class. I'm a middle class worker, you know, and I think that he's the right guy for the job. Him and Trump kind of have the same ideas, but I feel that Bernie might be better as far as foreign policy is concerned because he's older, and I think he's probably would be better at that as opposed to Trump. I think Trump kind of scares me as far as that's concerned.
Well, you saw the English debate in the Parliament in which they decided they basically didn't want him over there. Interesting. Yeah, they did that yesterday, they decided that they weren't going to vote for it. The idea of cutting him off because they thought it would make him into some kind of a special guy, oppressed class. Sean, I want to let you go because I want to give everybody a chance. Thank you very much for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. Bye
bye. We'll go to Kim. Okay, Kim in Worthington. Okay, you're on, Kim.
Yeah, hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So this morning, I was listening to you guys on the roundtable, and I thought it was really a wonderful discussion. And the thing that kept hitting me when you were talking about evangelicals was just how, the description of Trump courting the religious college and going back seeing how, superficial that is, and we all know it. And yet what kept coming into my head was just where are people who are Christians who are not about alienation, who are not about judging, who are not about putting down, ridiculing, anger, hatred, feeding off of all the negative aspects of human beings. where are folks who believe that speaking up against that form of Christianity that he's trying to connect with? And then it made me think, like, isn't that what we're always asking, saying in the Muslim faith, to have Muslims who are not supporting ISIL, who do not say that that's what the faith is about, shouldn't they be speaking up more? And I just realized, well, it's just the Christian evangelical movement is just similarly a lot like, you know, the rhetoric of ISIS. It's all the same, except we're not going around killing, maiming, and taking over towns, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but...
I've actually had a lot of thoughts on the whole idea that people do what they want to do. So you say to them, okay, you're a Christian evangelical. These are the precepts that you believe in. Here's what what Trump has not done according to the precepts you believe in. They say, oh, no, I really know he's a good man. So in other words, you can't really convince anybody that they can't take a lemon and come out with a watermelon. You know what I'm talking about here?
Right, but you could have people who claim to be of the Christian faith to stand up and say, you know, no, Trump, that is not.
Well, I'm sure you have a lot of them. I'm sure you have a lot of people who do that. But they're not on the radio or they're not on the television.
No, they're not.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, when Netanyahu was over here and blasting, you know, the Obama administration, I thought it was disgraceful. Really disgraceful.
Yeah.
I'm Jewish. That doesn't mean everybody who's Jewish believes in Netanyahu or what he's putting out there. Hey, Kim, very interesting call. Really.
Yeah.
Thank you
Take
for
care.
Making it.
Thanks
right,
a
bye.
Lot.
Yeah. 1-800-348-2551. Bud in Albany. Okay, Bud, you're on.
Hello, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think that I agree with Bernie's economic policies.
Yep.
But I think that the perfect is the enemy of the good. And my concern is that he would lose a general election. I worked for Eugene McCarthy and McGovern, and 7 o'clock on election eve, the whole thing was all over. Mm-hmm. And I would hate to see something like that happen again.
Especially when the stakes are so high. Your point is, fact of the matter is, it's puzzling. I'm going to vote for Bernie, but I have to tell you, I am somewhat chilled by the idea that if we guess wrong on who the candidate should be, that what we'll find is the other guys win the election. I mean, it's very hard to understand Bernie winning in South Carolina. Let's put it that way.
Yes, and if the other guys win the election, who will be picking the next Supreme Court justice?
The next probably three of them, two or three of them. And that'll be forever. Hey, Bud, thank you for the great call. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's go to Bob in Albany. Okay, Bob, your turn.
Hi, Alan. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too.
I was going to opine on Hillary versus
Bernie.
What's his name?
Bernie. Yeah.
But there's just something Paul said about how Trump could be a good person for the working man because of all he's accomplished. I refer Paul to the New York Times business section on Sunday that had a huge story about how much he failed in his own business life and how often and how, you know, and it's been well known that if he had just taken the money he inherited from his father and put it in the bank, he'd have done better than he's done with his great investments. So, Paul, check it out. Regarding Bernie and Hillary, love Bernie on the debate. Can't imagine one thing that he wants to do getting through Congress unless the entire Senate and House flips.
Yeah, unless he brings them with him. I mean, sometimes when you have a presidential election, things do flip.
If a socialist is going to get in, it's not going to be by a landslide. It's going to be a real, real squeaker.
Yeah.
He's not going to bring the gerrymandered House along in any case. And the Senate could flip. Republicans are defending a lot more than the Dems. But Hillary was a senator, knows how it works, has relationships with people that are still in the Senate. I think she can accomplish a great deal there, even if it won't be the magnificent visions that Bernie has, but she can actually get something done. That's why I'm voting for her.
Bob, I appreciate your call. I appreciate your sentiments. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We'll go to Mary Kate in Troy. Hi, Mary Kate. You're on.
Hi, Alan. Alan, just a quick question. How many times did Trump go bankrupt? Was it two or three, I think?
Well, he had problems. I know that. I couldn't give you an answer, but, you know, I mean, I think that was the tenor of the last call also, you know, that he's not that hot a businessman, but he's got billions in the bank right now. So, you know, I don't think we could dismiss him as somebody with business acumen, right?
No, that's not my point.
Yeah.
My point is he was interviewed about it once.
Yeah.
And he was pretty flip about. Someone said, how could you go bankrupt? You know, couldn't you find another way so that people didn't get hurt?
Yeah, yeah.
He said, well, I was allowed to under the law, under the tax code. You know, it seemed heartless about the companies that went under, the jobs that were lost, people unemployed. And he paid short shrift to that and just said, well, I could do it under the tax code, so I did.
Well, you make a point, Mary Kate. Yeah. That's a very good point. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay, yeah, bye.
Okay, we'll go to Jeff in New Paltz. Jeff in New Paltz, you're on.
Yeah, hi there, Alan. So I just want to make a couple points about Bernie that I think probably other people have made, but and Bob just said something along the same lines. And I hear a lot of, I like Bernie, but he can't win, or I like Bernie, but he won't be able to get anything done. And I've heard Rosemary on your show say something to that effect.
Yes,
and it just seems to me that if everybody who liked Bernie would simply vote for Bernie, you would win. And Bernie's got more experience as a legislator than Hillary or, you know, I think almost all of the candidates. And he's been working in the Congress for a long time. Seems to me that he would know how to get things done. And if he has a Congress with him, he'll be able to work with that. And if he doesn't, he'll work with what he's got. That was my point.
Do you think there's a risk in alienating the middle class voter in America, who isn't ready for a socialist?
You know, it's hard to predict how that's going to go. The other point I wanted to make about Bernie is, in conversations that I have here in Ulster County and in Delaware County, and I'm around a lot of sort of rural kind of. Sort of middle of the road voters. I hear a lot of people who vote Republican normally who support Bernie, and I cannot imagine a Democratic voter voting for either of those.
Well, you know what that's all about. I am convinced that both Trump, and I said it early, you know, the copycatters have come along afterwards, but I said it from the beginning, the American people, especially the people who don't know much about substantive politics, just are so sick and tired of the way it is that they want somebody out of the box. And the two two candidates out of the box, ironically, right, are Trump and Bernie. So,
right.
And both of them have enormous appeal to those people who are disenchanted with the way in which politics works. And so you may make a point. There have been major revolutions. Who would have thunk that gay marriage would be here with us today? But the kids got active and they said, you know, this is nonsense. And all of a sudden, the whole thing turned around. So,
and I don't think the word socialist scares people the way it used to. And I think there's beginning to be some understanding about what that actually means, is that there are other countries in the world that are capitalistic where social democracy works.
Well, you know, you say that. On the other hand, you got to go look at the New York Post on this article that they printed. It was disgusting about, you know, tying him into, you know, international communism and the rest of it. That's what that's what the guy's going to face. Hey, Jeff, thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, we'll go to Pat. Oh, no. Pat, you stay right there. We have to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Okay, Pat?
Nope. No problem.
Okay.
Support comes from Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, Warwick, New York, a Hudson River Valley bookseller specializing in new and vintage books, with a second shop now open on Windmere Avenue in the heart of Greenwood Lake. YeOldWarwickBookshop.com. Clipcentric Albany, a local video services division of Clipcentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV. Albany.clipcentric.com. Kingsway Community, Schenectady, New York, offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including independent living apartments, home care, and more. KingswayCommunity.com. John Lee Auctions, offering estate liquidations, appraisals, and auction services for over 40 years, purchasing jewelry, coins, silver, gold, art, and antiques throughout the Northeast. JonLeeAuctions.com. And Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, hosting an open house January 23rd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. All locations open for tours. WaldorfSaratoga.org for details.
So welcome back, everybody. This is the third part of the show. We'll try to keep it going and try to get as many people in as we possibly can. We're talking politics, presidential politics. What do you think? Let's go to Pat in Poughkeepsie. Pat in Poughtown, you're on.
All right, thanks, Alan. Hey, I wanted you to put your maybe time traveler hat on and tell me if there's any, you see any parallel to what happened in 68 with Johnson and McCarthy and Kennedy. And you think anything like that could happen, i.e. Bernie wins Iowa, Bernie wins New Hampshire, Bernie wins South Carolina, and I know everybody talks about that firewall in the South, but now the establishment gets worried. Now the establishment's like, okay, we got to get a Biden, get a Gore. Yeah.
So, and then what happens?
I think similar to with the Republicans, and if Trump runs the table, the establishment's going to get worried. There's going to be a firestorm if they try to pull a fast one on Bernie. I'm just wondering if... I know the times were a lot differently in the primary.
I thought you were going to go somewhere different.
I think a third candidate could rise up to say, "Hey, we can't let Bernie win. We can't have any one of the Republicans against Bernie because, again, there might be too many people who jump to the other side." I'm just wondering, can it even happen, or is it really?
No. Anything can happen.
Anything can
happen. I thought you were going to mention Robert F. Kennedy.
Kennedy after McCarthy won.
Right. The stalking
Kennedy
horses.
Jumped it in.
Yeah.
Obviously a lot of anger, but still they had to get an establishment guy, or at least someone was between the establishment and the next generation.
I think he would have won. I do.
But I think so, too.
We'll never know about that. But the stalking horse idea is interesting, and the third party idea is very interesting. So let me name two people who become very attractive in a case like a third party. And third parties, as you know, in America, historically just don't make it. But because our parents tell us whether we're Republicans or Democrats, and we call that political socialization. But Mike Bloomberg is a real possibility. In a case like the one you've sort of laid out, I would see him as a viable guy. He's not getting any younger. He has always wanted to be president. We know that. Lots of people wanted to see him run for governor after he was done being mayor, but he didn't want that. So it's a possibility.
Well, Alan, you know, when I said third party, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said third party. I meant a third party like a third person. So I was going down the Kennedy road. Things change so much that can another candidate get in to say, hey, there's blood in the water with Hillary. She's losing. We can't have Bernie. And now they rise up. Biden came out a couple weeks ago, and he's having these interviews, and hey— You know, sometimes I regret it, and I miss it, and all that stuff.
Hey, I was the guy who said Trump couldn't possibly win anything.
Yeah,
I agree. I said that, but now it's turning out he's doing quite well. Is my point. None of us are infallible in this, and anything can happen. Pat, we got a lot of people on the line. I appreciate your call. You've really stimulated my thinking here. Thanks again.
Thanks, Alan.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Douglas in Wendell, Massachusetts. Okay, Douglas, you're on.
Yeah, Alan, I just wanted to add a couple callers back. Kudos to that person. When it comes down to whether people want to vote for Bernie, but then they say that it's risky, and if we do, we could lose in the long run. As someone who's a vet and to consider myself a patriot,
yep.
We've never done anything great in this country by being afraid. And if you believe in him and what he says, which I do 100%, and I've been watching him from the beginning, compared to anybody else running, in my personal feelings, he represents the middle class more than anybody by a long shot. And Donald Trump is not even making sense to me because he's not explaining anything.
He's making sense to a lot of people in this country.
Yeah, but he's not defining anything. He's a mouth. But he's not really giving any details, which I know you're aware of this, Alan. You're an intelligent man. But I think people that are on the fence for Hillary or Bernie, they have to look at both of them and do some research. The best quote I saw the other day was, Hillary will shut down the banks, right? Just as long as she gets to cash all the checks that they've sent her so far.
Okay, Douglas, thank you for that. I appreciate it very much.
See ya.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to Richard in Leeds. Okay, Richard, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say I love what Bernie has to say, right. And I get a lot of people trying to get me to work for Bernie, but I worry about Bernie, and I have maybe different concerns about what other people think. I grew up with John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and when I listen to what Bernie's saying, I mean, I'm saying basically what he says really does affect the status quo. And a lot of the very powerful people here. And his message probably wouldn't be very well appreciated if he did win. And I would be worried about his health and safety. You know, now is that am I too conspiracy minded or paranoid at this point?
No. You can worry about he and I are old men. I mean, we are. I'm 74. Was he 73, something like that?
Right.
One knows that God has term limits in life. That is just true. So you can worry about that. Number two, there is always the possibility somebody will do something crazy. But, you know, I'm watching China. Oh, you're
right.
Saying, Richard, you're saying, well, what do you mean you're watching China? Well, China, you know, here we are in the United States of America. The Chinese market falls out. The price of oil goes down in, you know, Saudi Arabia's pumping too much and the rest of it.
Right.
And the United States shivers. So anything is possible if you really throw a monkey wrench into the existing system. Look, when Obama had to save the country when he came in and the entire system, economic system, was going down, nobody in the banks really got it. You know what I mean?
I know. But, you know, the thing that scares me the most is the rhetoric from the other side. I mean, they incite people to riot on a regular basis. You know, they have the Planned Parenthood people scared to death, and they have lots of other people scared just because of their rhetoric being so, I don't know, over the top, and including Mr. Trump, I might add. You know?
Yeah.
So that's where my concerns are. And so you think so. Bernie, in other words, isn't as worried because he's an older guy and he's going to take a risk, and, you know, I can get along with that.
Oh, no, I know him. He's very ambitious, and he thinks he knows what he's doing, and I think he does, too. But I can guarantee you he's doing this because Bernie wants to do it.
Right. Can you think he should be a little more open about what a social Democrat
well,
is?
Well, he's tried to already. He's given,
they're calling him a communist
Richard,
now.
Richard, of course, and you ain't seen nothing yet, let me tell you.
Sure.
You know, they're tying him to Yipsil. I used to watch my lefty friends going to Yipsil meetings, Young Socialist League. So the Post has this huge article about how he was a member of Yipsil. And he did this and he did that. And then they try to tie him into all the Soviet dictators and everybody else. That's what the campaign is going to look like. Assuming he gets
it. Better, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, Richard, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Alan.
All right, let's go to Wayne and Rensselaer. Wayne and Rensselaer, you're on.
Bernie can win in Iowa. His ground game contributions are catching up to Hillary. He's got money for advertising now, and he's got the attraction energy of the millennials far out numbering Hillary in those polls. In terms of the socialism, the United States has a mixed economy already.
Right.
You know, partially capitalism, partially socialism.
Right.
Look at the Veterans Administration. That's socialism.
Look at Medicare.
In Medicare.
Yeah. Look at the
highways and bridges and roads that we
sure.
We pay for them. We pay for their people. Bernie's starting to educate people about a single payer and Medicare for all. And one important point for New Yorkers is that in terms of bottom line cost savings, sure, you pay a little bit of money or in payroll taxes, but that's more than offset. And your bottom line end of year savings for most people would be far more. Because why? Look at all the school taxes and property taxes that people complain about every year. What's the biggest driver in those costs? It's the health insurance for current employees and retirees. And so, you know, you'd save much more money in school and property taxes that more than offset the little more you pay.
Well, but it's also, but Wayne, it's also a tax the rich plan. You know that. I mean, he's saying.
Mostly so.
Yeah. He's saying that those people who have more should pay more. You know, you make over $200,000, you got to pay more. That's what he is saying. There will be many people in this country who will say, someday I'm going to make $200,000, therefore I'm against this. Do you understand what I'm saying? People don't...
The Horatio Alger story doesn't exist anymore, if it ever existed at all.
They don't
a very small percentage of people can start out today and pull themselves up with bootstraps and make it to the top. But that's a small percentage, and it still exists.
Exactly. Wayne, right you are. I want to give everybody a chance. We'll go to Beth in Montgomery. Beth in Montgomery, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
So far, so good. Don't ruin my day.
I want to tell you, I'm a registered Democrat, and I want to see a woman in the White House, but I want a woman who's honest. I was all for Hillary in 2008. I think that she is damaged goods. I don't trust her. I think that the money has been commingled between the, you know, it's so hard to tell where money comes from, and let's face it, one thing that's really attractive around the country about Donald Trump is his own dime, and he's not going to be beholden to anybody. And I have a funny feeling that she will not be in that position. And I am voting for Bernie in the New York primary, and I'm telling you why. I may not agree with Bernie 100%, but one thing about Bernie, he's honest. He says what he believes, whether you like it or not. And I want someone in who's honest, who I can actually believe.
Well, now, Beth, I think you speak for a lot of people. I mean, I talk to a lot of people about this race, and I ask them about Hillary. And, you don't find a lot of people who say, well, Rosemary and Libby do, but you don't find a lot of people who say, oh, I really, really like her, and I really, really, you know, respect her. There are a lot of people who have issues, the kind of issues you have. On the other hand, you know, she has a hell of a resume and what she's done in life. So I don't think you can discount her, you know.
But she, part of her resume is tarnished.
Well,
I hate to say it, but it's true. And you know, I was a feminist too back in the day. My son is 31, and I remember back in the day, if you didn't go lockstep with them, like if you shouldn't go to work, you should have to stay home, had to breastfeed, all these things. If you didn't do that, people looked at you like you're funny. And the time for women to get together, whether they're Democrats, they're Republicans, or liberals, or socialists, women are women, and we should support any woman regardless of her party, because it's women that we're going
after. Hey, Beth, it's always great to hear from you. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Anne in Sharon. Anne in Sharon, you're on.
Hi, Ellen. I think Hillary's being very disingenuous when she says, well, you know, we tried the single-payer thing and they never got any Democratic votes in the House or in Congress. Well, Nancy Pelosi, who was in charge at that time, said, it's not even on the table. So it's never been given a fair shot. And Hillary seems to think, well, it's starting all over again. Hey, let's start there. Let's go there. We know it works. So anyway, I think she's not being very honest about that. And the woman who just spoke before, honesty is really important, man or woman. And I think that's a key that Hillary has to overcome is her honesty.
And from Sharon, thank you very much. Appreciate
thank you.
It. Right.
Yep.
We'll go to Sevam of Hawaii. Of Hawaii. You're on.
Hello, Mr. Shartok. I was listening to you on my iPad in Hawaii every morning, every day. Now it's morning here at 10 o'clock. And I will vote for Hillary all the way. She's got the most experience. She is the Secretary of State. She has the knowledge of the all the ins and outs of the presidency. And I cannot imagine any woman saying, she is not correct. She is not telling the truth. Every politician does this. And we have to remember the Supreme Court.
We do. You're right about that. It's of great.
We have to remember the Supreme Court. There will be three judges must be chosen next for the 8 years. Can you imagine having a Donald Trump there? I can't imagine it.
Seven, thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. Let's go to Bruce in Ulster very quickly, Bruce. You got to go fast.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. And I agree with you about Bernie, but even more so because I've been doing this since the beginning. I like what he says. I don't think he can possibly win the major election because they're going to paint him, as they've already begun, as a Jewish commie or a commie Jew, and middle America will not vote for him. And the closer the election is, the Republicans will steal it. My main concern is somebody like Trump, if he gets in the room with foreign the foreign leaders, what is he going to do? Insult them the way he works? My God. And I'm also scared of, the other candidates.
Cruz. Did you mean Cruz? Okay.
One other thing.
Yeah.
ISIS is going to break their neck to pull something before the major election so that we'll elect somebody like Trump or Cruz.
Well, why is ISIS? Why do you think ISIS is for Trump?
So he'll go to war.
And they like that? They want that?
Oh, definitely. They definitely want that. You know, and Cruz will do the same thing. Cruz is even more dangerous than Trump. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And the reason I don't trust Hillary is I listened to her before we went to war in Iraq, and I was sure, basis on what she said, analyzing the situation, that she's going to vote against it. And then she turned around and voted for it, and I fell off my chair.
Yeah, Bruce, that's enough, because we want to try to get everybody in. Let's go to Chris and Haney. Is it Haney? Haney?
Hawley, Pennsylvania.
Hawley, oh, so sorry. Go ahead, Chris. You got one second. Go ahead.
Okay, under 35, I've been a Bernie supporter for 12 years, listening to him call into talk shows. And I've got to say to the DNC supporters out there, all you older folks that are worried, Bernie is an amazing politician. His message is on point. It hasn't changed. And he's going to be our next president.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much. Okay, let's see. We can take one more now. Dave in Hudson. Dave, you're on.
Okay, I enjoy listening to Bernie. I think he's going to put up one heck of a fight. He just has to be careful what he says about Hillary. He doesn't want to end up like Vince Foster. Got it?
Okay, well, okay. I got what you're saying. I don't agree with you. Okay, let's go to Karen in Coppe. Karen, you got a second. Go ahead.
Hi, Alan. I'd like you to speculate on the possibility of Bloomberg actually making a run.
Well, I mentioned it before. I think if the polls are showing he can do it, he'll do it.
Great. As a small business owner, I really hope he does.
Okay, Karen. Thank you very much.
Okay,
that's all we have time for. I want to thank everybody for calling, for all of you who were left on the phone. I really appreciate your calling, and Anthony in Albany, so sorry that we couldn't get to you. Let me just thank some people here. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement, a proud supporter of public radio, FortHillAutoBody.com, Albany Realty Group, a local woman-owned real estate company since 2003, educating and counseling sellers and buyers throughout the real estate transaction, AlbanyRealtyGroup.com, The Whistling Kettle, featuring Tea of the Month Club's Tea Discovery, Wellness Tea, Herbal and Caffeine-Free Tea, and more, TheWhistlingKettle.com for catalog and online ordering, The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, Massachusetts, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, weddings, and special occasions, cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings, henyonbakery.com. Thanks for joining us. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Susie Chekai. Our producers, Jessica Blaustein Marshall, and I'm Alan Chartok. And I want to tell you, it's a great thing to have this kind of discussion. The phones were all busy. And now, go to the lockbox and put something in. in. We're getting real close to that last $100,000 that we're going to need to get the $25,000 from the Spitzer Foundation. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for participating. And thank you for all being so civil. See you later.